Yud Tes Mal Cheshvan, Sunday the 1st of November, Dain Elimelech Banzeta, Cheskas Kahuna Bismanenu, the Chazaka of being a Kohen in our time.
Don't explain it.
This week's Shiurim have been sponsored by the participants of Torah Way, Liri Nishmas, our good friend, Harav Chaim Ben Rav Dov Koshavsky, Zeichel Livrocha.
Good morning, our friends. There are no coincidences, as we know. Roshem, I had the pleasure and the schus of meeting Rav Koshavsky, and I think we are all extremely saddened by his passing. And may the words of Torah we will share this morning be a schus and serve to give an aliyah to his neshama. There are times and instances in which the psak rendered by a Beis Din will have a direct impact on the lives of the questioners, on the lives of the people asking the questions. It's not the same as when someone comes in and asks you a shaila legabe regarding basar becholov. Say that maybe the person might not eat what he or she was cooking, or maybe will declare that a certain type of food is osur, but you can carry on living, and the impact on your life will be fairly minimal. If we're talking about a cow in the olden days in the shtetl, and you render that the cow was mamish, was a treifa, and the butcher had been raising that cow for a number of months on end, it was the source of his parnosa, and you say that the cow is a treifa, it will have a greater impact on the person's life. When it comes to issues regarding the person's personal status, Cheskes Kehuna, Mamzeres, the impact of the person's life will be tremendous, and therefore it is incumbent upon a responsible based in the Dayanim and Poiske Aloche to look at the matter very, very, very carefully. Because that decision will change that person's life one way or another. I remember many, many years ago when I was a bocher in yeshiva, there was a chaver, very dear chaver, a masmid, who was a Baal Tshuva, who once told me the story of his life, how his parents met. And he told me that his mother had been married to someone, had had two daughters with the first husband, and then they separated, they parted ways. His mother was not observant, and she met his father, who had also been married, and they decided they would live together, and they married, had a civil marriage, never had a chuppah, and the mother never had a get from the first husband. And I look at him startled, and I didn't say anything at all. I didn't say anything at all. I kept my mouth shut. Next day, and I thought about it and thought about it. Next day, I asked him, are you familiar with the halachas pertaining to mamzeres? So he tells me, yes, I am. I'm not one of them, as I'm soimach on Rav Moshe's tshuva. My mother, her chuppah wasn't a kosher chuppah. I'm soimach on Rav Moshe's tshuva. Rav Moshe says, there's someone who married conservative, this and the other. It's a tremendous chiddush in Rav Moshe's time when he wrote the tshuva. It was a tremendous chiddush because the poisek of that time in America was Rabbi Hankin, and Rabbi Hankin held then the chuppah, the conservative chuppah, was a chuppah for all intents and purposes. Rav Moshe was mechadish that if the Edim were not kosher, this and the other. But the Maisa, he went on and spoke to Dayanim, we were in Yerushalayim, and his situation was very uncomfortable. He had just started going out on Shidduchim, and he had to interrupt it, and he was virtually on standby for over a year and a half. Situation was, his mother had married under the auspices of a Yekish conservative shul, very much a right-wing conservative shul, bordering modern orthodoxy, wasn't so clear at all. So he was there on a holding pattern for a year and a half. And the way that the basin was able to pasken, that there was no issues of manzeres in his case, was due to a technicality. Technicality. They found a technicality on the Mesiras HaTabat, on the giving of the ring, and therefore, the basin paskened, he wasn't a manzer. In the meantime, one of the approaches they tried to, in order to free him from this limbo, status of limbo, was to say that his mother was not really Jewish. To look into the ichus of the mother and find maybe the grandmother, maybe the great-grandmother, maybe one of them had converted or was not really Jewish, and therefore, in his case, he would be better off being a goy and undergoing gerus than being a manzer. So when you're faced with life-altering situations, you need to look for every single limud zchus, every single kula under the sun, but you can't bend halacha. You need to operate within the domain of halacha, but you can't bend halacha. Baruch Hashem, now there are many Bali Tshuvas. And many of those Bali Tshuvas come to a shul, come to a yeshiva, come to a community, and they say, is there a Kohen present? Is there a Kohen present? And they raise their hands and say, oh, I'm a Kohen. Okay, the Baal Tshuva, he's been a Baal Tshuva for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years. He comes, he gets the first Aliyah, Duchenin. There's no Truma Bismaneinu, so that's not really a Shiloh. But the Aloha, let's see what the Aloha says over here. What? Oh, can you use that specific Kohen who's a Baal Tshuva, who's been a Baal Tshuva for 3 years, let's say in your vicinity, in your area, he's the only Kohen. They say, and it's a Maisen, we don't paskin, it's well known, we don't paskin according to Maises, but they say that there is a Maisen about the Gra, the Gomi Vilna, whenever he met a Kohen, he would do a Pidyon HaBen Lechumra on himself. Maybe that person was not really a Kohen until he met one specific Kohen and said, oh, this is Mamash, he's not a Cheskes Kohen, he's a Kohen Muvak, and therefore, and that was the last Pidyon HaBen that he made on himself.
Sorry, why talk about Shulah? Because you're saying he doesn't know what his lineage is, or he's not sure his parents...
Exactly. Because the parents are not observant. Yeah. The parents did not keep the alochas of Kehuna. The father, for example, the father was not observant at all. So the father had no idea, can I marry this person? Can't I marry this person? Maybe the grandfather was already not observant. So therefore, who you marry will have a tremendous bearing on the status of your offspring if you are a Kohen. But the Halacha says like this, in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, Siman Gimel Halacha Aleph, the halacha is very clear and goes like this. Mishaba bezman hazeh, someone who comes, bezman hazeh, Shulchan Aruch is writing hundreds of years ago, and he says, bezman hazeh, in our days, ve'amar, and he says the following, koyen oni, I am a Kohen, eino ne'eman, is not ne'eman, he can't be trusted, And we did not assign the status of being a Kohen according to his own words. He shouldn't be given the first aliyah, and he should not duchen. Says the Rama. The Rama says like this. Some are of the opinion that he can be given the first aliyah, velisa is kapov, and duchen. Bezmanaze, in our days. She'ein lanu truma de'uraisa. Why? Because we didn't have truma de'uraisa. Truma de'uraisa would be a tremendous problem. Because you know, we know what happens to a zar who eats truma. She'nachu shema yaleo isoy le'truma. We're not choishesh. He will eat truma. V'chein no'yagim a'idno b'chol mokim she'ein no'yagim b'truma b'zman hazeh v'leika le'micha shlemidi. So the Rama says, and this is our minig. We give him the first aliyah, and we let him duchen, and we're not choishesh. But the Noisei Kelim take issue with the Rama, and the Noisei Kelim say the Beishmuel Chelkas Mechukok, they take issue with the Rama, and they disagree with him. They say giving the first aliyah is not a problem at all, because giving the first aliyah, what is the rationale behind giving the first aliyah? Why does the Kohen get the first aliyah? Kuvud. It's kuvud. Kuvud. You give it the same reason you give him. You give Noel. You give the Kohen benching. But duchenin is something else, because the mice of the person will be mentioning, will be saying Shem Hashem, and also because it's a mitzvah piece. It's a Torah specific mitzvah regarding and pertaining to a Kohen. But the following halacha says like this: Aya eid echod, one aid, one witness, made all of, who says this person is a Kohen, neeman leachiloi betruma bezman hazeh velikroiz batoire rishen velisayis kapov veafilo oviv neeman, even the father. Even the father, even though the father is a kuriv, and we normally say that kuriving mapsuli le'edus, even if the father comes and says he's a kohen, we believe what the father is saying, and the person is given the status of a kohen. The Noisei Kelim will also take issue with this, and they will say there is a nafkamina if we know that he's the father, if we don't know that he's the father. If we know that he's the father, some will be of the opinion that we can't really take his eidus as eidus, because he's the father. But what is the rationale behind the father being able to testify that his son is a Kohen? Because the father is normally responsible. The father and the mother are responsible for feeding a child. And if the Kohen is eating truma, and we know what happens to someone who is not a Kohen and eats truma, and the father gives the son truma to eat, therefore, mashma that the son is also a Kohen.
When the father's made on the son, he's really being made on himself.
He's not being made on him. He's made on someone else. He wouldn't.
We just ask him that if he made on himself, we don't believe him.
But he's not saying. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about the son. Mimele, the son is a Kohen. The father is a Kohen. But he's talking specifically about the son.
He's a Kohen. Automatically, the son is a Kohen.
Not automatic. It's not automatic at all. What if the Kohen married someone who he couldn't marry? We see over here, Shulchan Aruch. Also, Ibn Ezer, further on, Seif Vov, Siman Vov, I'm sorry. Noshim Asur is a queen, Vidin Eish is queen. Noshim Asur is a queen. The women that a Kohen can't marry. Kohen Osur Mina Toire. Osur Mina Toire. Begrusha Zoina Vechalola. He can't marry a divorcee, he can't marry a Zoina. And the definition of a Zoina is very broad. And he can't marry a Chalola, the daughter of a Kohen, or married someone he shouldn't have married. A Zoina, the definition of a Zoina is much broader than the first thing that normally comes to your mind. When it comes to a chalutza, it's also midrabbonim. Lefichach, im avar benasa, sveik chalutza ein tzarich liyitzi. He married someone who is a sveik chalutza. You don't force him to give her a divorce. Aval grusha, afilo eino ela sofek grusha tzarich liyitzi. Bein shenit garsha min hayilusin o min or bein shenit garsha min hanisuin. Afilo reyach get poisel bekeuna. And even if someone afilo reyach get the Noisei Kelim explain. a man tells the woman, I'm divorcing you. What is the nafkamina over here? Because we know that a kohen can marry a widow. A kohen can marry a widow. Kohen gadol can't marry a widow, but a kohen hadiot can marry a widow. But what if the widow, before the husband was nifter, the husband told her, in a moment of rage, I'm divorcing you. According to Locha, she can't marry a Kohen. Because there is a reyach get. There is a shmek of a get in her life, therefore, can't marry. Now, the situations here are very, very troubling. The aloha, these alohas can be very troubling for someone who is a Baal Tshuva or anyone, or even a Kohen whose family is Becheskas Kehuna, Doiris Doiris, and then he wants to marry someone. Let's say, for example, that person happens to be a Baal Tshuva, or that person had a previous life veered off the derech slightly. There has been a trend in recent years of being moirid, of taking koyanim down from their status as koyanim, in order to give them the opportunity of marrying something they wouldn't be able to marry if they were in fact koyanim. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in three tshuvas, there are three very clear tshuvas in which Rav Moshe writes, in Chelek Dalet, in Eben Ezer, Tshuva Yud Aleph, Tshuva Yud Beis, and Tshuva Mem Aleph. First Tshuva Yud Aleph is Echad Sheichzik Atzmei Likoyim Velo Yediatei Himi Aviv She'inu Shomer Torah. Someone who was Machzik himself as a Kohen, he said, I'm a Kohen. His father is an ignoramus when it comes to Torah. Okay, so says Rav Moshe like this, someone who always behaved, he started behaving as if he's a Kohen. And where does the information come from? From his father. The information comes from his father. The father was in a bar mitzvah, and they wanted to be mechabed the father with an aliyah, and the father decided to say, oh, I'm a Kohen. Aval aviv einu shomer Torah klal. The father is not shomer Torah mitzvahs bichlal. V'gam shebalach min beis aviv b'yeladusoy mitzad mardoy v'aviv. And he ran away, he fled from the house of his father, because he feared his father, he didn't get along with his father. Shelifi adaz lo haya loy leida kol kach. So he didn't have much contact with his father. Where is he getting the information from? Davar kazeh shelachin ein loy shum ne'emanos lazeh shehu koyin. Rav Moshe paskins at the end of this tshuva, paskins like this. Ein loy yisrei mikeivan sheachzik atzmoi lekoyin u'al pi amir hazaviv shein loy ne'emanos. The only reason why he's behaving like a Kohen is because he trusted his father's words, but his father's words have no nemanos. Lachin eino tzarich legarish es ishtoi agiores. Therefore, Paskin Rav Moshe, this Kohen was married to a gioris, to a convert, And the issue here was, if he's a Kohen, and if the base in Paskins that he's a Kohen, he needs to be Megarish, his wife. Rav Moshe was, I can't say he was Makel, because it's not a question of being Makel or being Machmir. We can see it either way. He was Makel that he wasn't a Kohen, or he was Machmir that he wasn't a Kohen. We can see it either way. But be that as it may, Rav Moshe Paskind, that there was no nemanas, there was no credibility, there was no reason why this person should believe that he's a Kohen based on what his father said. He writes over here that he himself, Rav Moshe, spoke to the person's first cousin, the daughter of his uncle, his father's brother, and she said, my father was not a Kohen. If my father was not a Kohen, I really don't know where he's getting this from. Okay.
Son of Gioyos is of Zoyno.
What?
Son of Gioyos.
Zoyno.
Zoyno.
A Gioyos, even the Shulchan Aruch says that a Gioyos, even if she was Megaya and if she was younger than 3 years old, she's Vegeder Zoyno. Zoyno, not in the sense that she led a promiscuous lifestyle, but it is in the category of those who can't marry a Kohen als Zoyno. Shuviyud Beis, Rav Moshe is talking. What? But she doesn't come from Zera Yisroel, she doesn't come from a conception of Kedusha, and because the conception was not big Kedusha, even someone, Al-Pi Alocha, a Kohen whose mother is a woman whose mother is a born Jew, so she's a born Jew as well, but the father is a Nochri, the father is not Jewish, she can't marry a Kohen. She can't marry a Kohen. If the father converted before she was born, then she can marry a Kohen. Now, Shuviyud Beis is quite interesting, because Shuviyud Beis, Chelek Dalet, Ebenezer. What?
No Kohen can marry a Kohen without
Shuviyud. Oh, that's a shaila. It's a tremendous shaila. No, it depends. It depends. We'll see here. Shuva Mem Aleph will address precisely that question. So, Tshuva Yud Beis deals with a question in which the father was a Kohen. The father was a Kohen, and again, it was someone who had married a Gioiris, and after both, he married her, and then they were he was Chozer B'Tshuva, he was Mischazek, he became Frumah, and he decided to ask the Shiloh. So Rav Moshe Feinstein goes back and forth. The father was in fact a Kohen. There was a Cheskes Kehuna. So the only option was talking to the mother. Rav Moshe spoke to the mother in Mesiach Lefi Tuma. The mother, in the course of her conversations with Rav Moshe Feinstein, she revealed that before marrying her husband, she had relations with non-Jewish men. Therefore, she couldn't, al-pi-alocha, she was not one of the, she fell into the category of those that a Kohen can't marry, in the category of a Zoyna, and therefore the son was a Halal. And a Halal can marry anyone he chooses. Tshuva Mem Aleph, talks about a Balas Tshuva who asked the Shaila. One second. In Tshuva Yud Beis, Rav Moshe, in determining if the person was indeed a Kohen or not, he asked the questioner. He said, "Is your mother trustworthy?" The mother was not observant. And the son's answer was as follows. He said, "My mother may not be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but she has never lied in her life, and she will never lie in her life." His words were the words that ended up saving his marriage. As I say, if you believe your mother, says Rav Moshe Paskind, if you believe your mother, then she's believed, And indeed, she shouldn't have married a Kohen, and your status, you're not really a Kohen, and you can still remain married to this person. Tshuva Memalev is it Rav Moshe Tendler. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Aydim, son-in-law, is asking the question on behalf of a female questioner who was a Baal's Tshuva, and she was worried. She was worried that maybe, because she had dated non-Jewish boys before, even though she hadn't consummated anything, but she was worried that maybe some fooling around led to her being osur to a Kohen, and he was a Kohen. So Rav Moshe first paskens that she has no problem at all. Since she's saying that nothing was ever consummated, she's to be believed. And regarding the Kohen, Rav Moshe writes like this. Ubifrat sheleik haraya brura shehu Kohen. There is no clear raya that he's a Kohen. Now, why is he behaving like a Kohen? Because his grandfather was in Askan in Chicago, built a shul, and the shul was dedicated to Mr. So-and-so a Kohen. And when the grandfather was Nifter, he was buried in the Kohanim section of the Beis Chaim, and the hands of the symbol of the Kehuna was engraved on his matzeva. Now, it's fascinating. Rav Moshe paskens, and this is the normative halacha, whatever you find in the matzeva, you find simonim that the person is a Kohen on the matzeva, is that a raya or isn't that a raya? It's not a raya at all. And that is also the psak of Rav Osher Wise in Minchas Osher. Rav Osher also paskens that the fact that you have, you know, two hands engraved in a matzeva, that is not a shtar, that is not edus, that is not a raya at all, that the person is a Kohen. So Rav Moshe writes here, Veleika raya brura shu Kohen. Ki araya shenichtav ken al matzevas kvaro yeinoi, al matzevas kivro yeino raya brura. Dea leik, shum choysen al ze. Veim yadua sha matzeva asa bnoi, madua yeino yoidea, ben ze mi aviv, if the son was responsible for making the matzeva, for commissioning the matzeva, and the son doesn't know that the father was really a Kohen, maybe it was a relative, some other relative who commissioned the matzeva, but the matzeva is not proof at all. So in this shuba, Rav Moshe says that the girl remains becheskes besulo, and he is not a Kohen at all. There is another case. In this case, a case we were asked personally. And has to do with this, with the following halacha. In Siman Gimel, Siman Gimel, Aloche Aloche Zain. Shekhanov says like this, Misha Uchzak Aviv Koyen. Seif Vov says like this, Avali Muchzak Aviv Koyen. The father was Muchzak Koyen. He was known as a Koyen. Oishabo Shnaim. Or two Aidim come and say his father is a Kohen, he will remain Becheskas Kohen because his father has a Cheskas Kohen, and this is irrelevant whether the person is a Baal Tshuva or not a Baal Tshuva. There was a case a number of years ago. The son of a governor in a South American country, the father was one of the most influential politicians in the country, a Yid, whose father became a communist and whose grandfather was a Hamish Yid from the Haim in Europe. And this person, the grandson already, he married someone, he married a Goita, and he was a Chazan, still has a beautiful voice, and through Chazonus started to be Choyzer B'Tshuva. Started going to shul, and the family was becoming a Yiddish family. She was lighting Shabbos candles, even though she wasn't Jewish, and she decided she would be Megayer. So she approached the Rav and told her life story, and she said, "I want to be Megayer." The Rav started learning with her. He wasn't so experienced. And then he realized that, listen, he's a Kohen, and she's not even Jewish. And they started drishas v'chakiris on his personal status, and it so happens that his grandfather, his great-grandfather, had come to that specific country with a number of people from his shtetl in Europe, and he was the Kohen Muvik of the town. And there was absolutely nothing they could do. There is another case, and I'll finish off with this case. There's another case in which someone became a Baal Tshuva, went to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, started behaving, he said, "I'm a Kohen, so first Aliyah, Duchenin," and then started going out with a Baal Tshuva who could not marry a Kohen. And he went and asked Rav Eliyoshiv the Shaila. Rav Eliyoshiv looked at him and said, "Ata Kohen. You're a Kohen. Also because there is a din of Ashaviyah and Nafshel Chaticha de Yisurah. Which means, if you believe in what you're doing. Over here in the tshuvas we mentioned by Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazaka was discredited. If you can't discredit the Alocha, the Chazaka, you can't discredit, and you believe in the source of the Chazaka, you believe wholeheartedly believe in the source of the Chazaka, but you can't prove the Chazaka either, you enter a status of Ashave and Nafshel Chaticha de Yisurah, which is you're not a Kohen Lechumra, you're not a Kohen Lekula. You can't marry those who are forbidden to marry a Kohen, but you can't do Duchenin either. So we've got three possible scenarios here. One is the person will retain Cheskes Kehuna. The other is Ashave Nashad the Chaticha de Yisura, which is the person will have to observe the chumras of being a Kohen, but will not have the schuyas of being a Kohen. And the third one is that the Kehuna will be discredited because it's founded upon quicksand, has absolutely no bearing in Alocha at all, and the person will not continue being a Kohen. Be'ez Hashem, we shall be zeicher to learning many more halachos. Always betide us in Klal Yisroel. Amen.